Did you watch the big UFC fight over the weekend? Trevor Noah said UFC fighter Conor McGregor has filed lawsuits in Wisconsin and Michigan contesting the KO. Mark Normand tweeted, "If I were a corner man for a female UFC fighter and she was losing the fight, I would just yell, 'Calm down.'" Jimmy Kimmel talked about all the problems Joe Biden has inherited. He says it makes him wonder how Biden's going to find time to watch 5 hours of Rachel Maddow every day. That's what presidents do, right? Stephen Colbert saw that Amazon has offered to help with distribution of the COVID vaccines and said, "Oh, thank God, I can't wait to get a 3-foot box that has just one syringe rattling around inside. Or better yet, send up one of those drones and let it shoot a needle directly into my neck." Larry the Cable Guy tweets, "If my dog could talk, I'm pretty sure all he would say is, 'Hey, are you going to finish that sandwich?'" Larry again, "Seriously, I got to lose some pounds. I was just put on the no fry list." He put in parentheses, "This joke is one of the symptoms of COVID." Mike Birbiglia tweeted, "Fox News is like a guy who shows up at a murder trial and says, 'Why aren't we talking about our least favorite flavor of Doritos?'" Birbiglia is the guest on this week's Conan O'Brien podcast. Conan tweeted that Mike Birbiglia was a late night intern in 1997, which means I, Conan, can take credit for all of his success. Conan O'Brien tweeted, "Here's an easy compromise. Lower the maximum wage to $15 an hour." And Conan, one more time, "Something to look forward to in the coming years, seeing weird billionaires F up space." Saturday Night Live is back this week. We'll get 5 straight weeks of new episodes. This week, John Krasinski. You know him from The Office. He was Jim. He will be your host. Machine Gun Kelly is the musical guest. Machine Gun Kelly, one of the few musical artists that fits into this narrow pocket of me driving around with my 17-year-old son, and we both like the song. So that's going to be a good show. Krasinski and Machine Gun Kelly, or MGK, as us cool people call him. February 6th, Dan Levy host. February 13th, Regina King. They have not yet announced the host for the February 20th and 27th weeks. Vulture wrote about Jim Carrey's Joe Biden impression and said, "There's an oddball surrealist vision where Carrey's Joe Biden could have worked. The actor's chaos energy and angular hyperactivity could have made for an alien bizarro world, Biden. The disorientation of it alone would have been a novel approach to a man whose main feature is that he's been around forever, but there was no synthesis between Carrie the celebrity, Biden the politician, and the Carrie as Biden that appeared on stage. It was a scattered impression that failed to portray Biden as a scattered person." Yeah, it was not a good impression. Vulture continues, "Woody Harrelson's Biden from late 2019 gave us a doddering grandfather, physically overtouchy while being mentally out of touch. SNL cast member Alex Moffat is the latest to take on the role, and they think there's potential in Moffat's ability to play good-natured nitwits, people who mean well but have no idea that they're living in their own warped realities. More significant, though, is Moffat's relative lack of celebrity. Political impressions by cast members, including Daryl Hammond's Bill Clinton, which was great, Dana Carvey's George Bush, also great, have had power because they've created an argument about those figures and because their impressions were not eclipsed by their own celebrity. Moffat likewise has room to create a Biden that is more about Biden than about whatever celebrity is playing him, and casting Moffat in the role focuses the comedy away from big stunts. It's the SNL casting equivalent of Biden's own stated desire for his presidency to calm things down, to stop the constant political escalation." Here's a press release hanging over from last week. It was busy around here last week. Two former Comedy Central executives are marking the 30th anniversary of the network's launch with a podcast celebrating the early years. If you were around back then, you may remember there were two comedy channels. There was The Comedy Channel and there was Ha TV. The press release reminds us that the two channels spent months battling for distribution, advertising, revenue, and audience. Cable operators made it clear there was room for only one comedy network. The inevitable merger set the stage for the new channel, renamed Comedy Central. Comedy Central launched July 2nd, 1991. Hey, 30th anniversary. By lowering comedian Judy Tenuta, like the New Year's Eve ball. One of the suits says, "It was stunts like that which sustained us in the early years. We didn't have a big programming budget, so when we weren't doing press stunts, we had to resort to airing Benny Hill marathons to get attention." I could go for a Benny Hill marathon. I haven't seen Benny Hill in a long time. Hey, Brits, hit me up at DC and Pod. Are they still showing that over there? I haven't seen Benny Hill on American television. Maybe not in the 21st century. It used to be on Channel 9 in New York City, where people my age watched it every single night. But I don't think I've seen Benny Hill in a long, long time. Now that I'm thinking about Benny Hill, we probably can't show Benny Hill now, right? It's probably been canceled because it's inappropriate and stuff. Brits, let me know at DC and Pod. Let's stay on that side of the pond. From Chortle, they ask, will the Edinburgh Fringe Festival go ahead this year? That is literally the £1 billion question. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon was asked, will this happen? She said, if I was to stand here right now and be asked if I think large-scale events by the summer with any certainty, the honest answer to that would be no. We have to be realistic and pragmatic. I think it's going to be a little while longer, and I'm saying that gently, before big-scale events become possible. That sucks. The Fringe Society says the Fringe will return from August 6 to 30, but that comes with the hefty disclaimer. We're still working on exactly what it'll look like. There just won't be time to run as many shows as possible. Certainly, theater productions are likely to be severely depleted with less time for rehearsals, let alone getting sets, props, and costumes together. But even stand-ups, who by this time of year might have expected to have working drafts of their shows, have nowhere to try them in front of audiences. And let's go down a different lane from the same article. As the Scotsman's critic Kate Copstick lamented in a recent podcast, last summer could have been a massive opportunity for Scottish comedians. She said, I didn't understand why local comics, who are always mouthing off during Edinburgh about how they're sidelined and marginalized by all these bloody comics coming up from the South and from America and moaning, why does nobody ever talk about Scottish comics? Well, they had a big chance. Nobody who didn't live in Edinburgh really had the cash to go. I'm going to go up there and get a hotel for the weekend to do it. But none of the local comics lifted a finger. The only person who did anything was Nathan Cassidy, who came up and did a show in the courtyard of the Three Sisters. Hopefully the festival will take place, but I don't know. Continuing that series where Vulture spoke to late-night writers about the Trump era of comedy, one said, can anyone tell me that Stephen Colbert or Trevor Noah or anyone doing an impression of Trump is really as funny as Trump? I don't think so. Donald Trump as the president is like a sketch I would have written for UCB's Sketch 101 class in 2005. Vulture writes, Jim Jeffries is very much on the side of I don't care what anyone thinks, and I'm going to say what I want to, and F everybody else. During the child separations, Jeffries had a character of a kid in a cage on stage. The original premise for the bit was a game show called Who's the Real Victim, which was poking fun at people who had done awful things, blaming cancel culture for the consequences. In the final bit, Jim wins a trip to a family detention center so he can teach immigrant kids what the real struggle is. Then when a game show model pulls a blanket off a cage, we had a kid that was in a cage. He made multiple appearances on the show as Cage Kid. Every time it got that uncomfortable laughter, the gasp of, I don't know if I should be laughing at this. The staff were watching rehearsal and they were like, oh my God, we can't do this. And we did it, and it was funny and one of the more memorable segments from the show. After that, Cage Kid became this running gag as a way for the show to acknowledge that we'd never really do a sober deep dive on family separations, but we could still say, hey, remember this terrible thing is still happening? In that way, it was kind of a cheat. We got credit for talking about it without really talking about it. Every time we had that kid on, I always felt like, oh, wait, is this funny? I think the message of the joke was a little muddy, like, what are we saying about this? Is it just funny that we're seeing a kid in a cage? Or are we really saying something here? And in that case, the joke was really just the audacity of doing it. There wasn't much beyond it other than, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. I heard from @StuartWheeldon. He tweeted @DCNPod and wrote, we had the fantastic opportunity to work with comedy greats Jeffrey Holland, Vicky Michelle, Mike Fenton Stevens, and Carl Hellman on our latest episode of Barmydale, #UK comedy, #sitcom, #podcast comedy. So I checked out Barmydale. It is a sitcom where you follow the lives of the residents of the fictional Derbyshire town of Barmydale during lockdown. This thing is really well done. I downloaded it. I checked it out. I was killing time at my kids' soccer practice. Spent a half hour with it. Really well done. The writing's on point. The timing is on point. The acting is on point. The sound effects are on point. Really nice job. Check out Barmydale. Stuart, thanks for putting that on my radar. Hey, you know what this is? That's today's iced coffee. Today's iced coffee comes to you via Ada. I woke up, I checked my email, and I saw that Ada had hit me up on buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and wrote, I just supported @DCNPod on @buymeacoffee because everyone needs a daily giggle in these times of COVID-19. Thanks for making me laugh. I always listen while walking the dog. People look at me funny because I'm laughing so hard and they don't know why. Thank you very much. This is it. I tweeted a picture of it this morning. You can also support the show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I really appreciate it. Look, I'm a capitalist. I enjoy the $5. I thank you very much. I bought this coffee with it. But even more so, it's just nice knowing there are other people on the end of the microphone and somebody actually enjoys this thing every day. I appreciate it. I try to be transparent with things. I looked this morning. As you might have noticed, I run commercials during the show. I get that they can be annoying. I have made $118 in ads so far in January this month. Just want to be transparent there. You know, I enjoy doing this. If I can make a buck along the way, that's awesome. But seriously, it's great knowing other people are listening. So hope you're having a nice morning walking your dog this morning. It was 20 degrees when I was in the Dunkin' Donuts parking lot. Also, with about a week to go, it looks like January would be the most listened to month for the podcast yet. So again, thank you everybody for supporting the show. You can support the show at buymeacoffee.com/dailycommynews. Nice little button there. You can click $5. Appreciate that. You can follow the show, of course, for free. Follow the show on Spotify, or you can download it at Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. I'm here 7 days a week. I appreciate you all, and I'll see you tomorrow.